A cult versus a religion. What is the difference? What is the difference between a cult and a religion? And why does it matter? First and foremost, we should know that Islam is described as a deen, deenul Islam. And a deen is best translated as a way of life. But if we were to ask the question, what category does Islam fall more into? More towards a cult or more towards a religion? I'd like to answer the question by first saying we need to understand the difference between the two. You have to define your terms. And there are five differences that I'd like to explore today, that I'd like to highlight. And then after that, inshallah ta'ala, I will tell you why it's very important to know the difference. So let's go through these five differences. Number one, regarding information. A religion is open-minded, whereas a cult is closed-minded. What does this imply? This implies that religion encourages you to ask questions and to learn more, whereas a cult wants to restrict your information. And this is why you will find that religions typically focus on somebody's internal state primarily. Understanding, faith, making sure that it's coming from within. Whereas a cult, since it doesn't focus on information and understanding, it just focuses on what? External appearance, conformity, everybody behaving in a conformist manner. So the question is, where does Islam fall on the spectrum? Is it more of a cult or more of a religion? Well, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala began this revelation with iqra, read. And what does that imply? It means read as in read the Qur'an, but also read as in be a literate ummah. Be people who are avid readers in general. You should be intellectually curious. You should be people who research and have full understanding of your faith and of anything else that you may be interested in. Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the specialists. Ask the people of knowledge. The people of the message. If you don't know something. So there is an emphasis to get to the bottom of your questions, not ignore them. Furthermore, when it comes to people bringing doubts, are we supposed to shun them and push them away? No. Allah says what? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah says, say, tell these people who bring doubts, bring your proof if you are truthful. So when it comes to this issue of information, it seems that Islam is very much on the side of a religion, open-minded, asking questions, learning, as opposed to a cult which is closed-minded. Cults, instead, what do? They don't encourage their followers to intellectually venture out of their delineated comfort zone. And the unforeseen consequence of this is that the new generation is entirely unequipped to confront any sort of competing ideas. So eventually they will lose faith in their cult. That's point number one regarding information. Point number two is what? Regarding people, regarding human beings. Religions encourage connection, whereas cults encourage isolation. Cults teach you to be isolated from the world. They make the followers closed off and paranoid. So where does Islam fall in this regard? Alhamdulillah, Allah tells us what? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, you are the best of nations produced for mankind, because you enjoin truth, you forbid what is evil, you enjoin what is right, you forbid what is evil, and you believe in Allah. In other words, you're supposed to be out there as an example to mankind, calling people to good, forbidding people from evil. You're not supposed to be like a cult, tucked away, hiding, paranoid as some sort of small group. Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Thus we have made you a just middle community, that you will be witnesses to all of mankind, to people. We are supposed to be testifying and demonstrating the truth through our behavior, through interacting, not by being closed off and cut off from society. Allah tells us about the Messenger ﷺ, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad ﷺ, except as a mercy to the worlds, to everybody, not just to the Arabs, not just to this group or that group, to everybody. So Islam clearly falls more towards the category of religion than towards cult. Why? Because it makes the followers open, interacting with the world, not closed off and paranoid. In fact, Allah Ta'ala describes the attitude of cult-like people when Allah says, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Allah says, of those are the people who They divided their religion and became like sects or like cults, every faction rejoicing within itself. In other words, the quality of a cult is that they just stick with themselves and they're just so proud of being different and unique instead of going out and spreading the message. They just rejoice at their own sort of uniqueness within themselves. So the first quality is regarding information. The second, regarding people. What about the third quality? Difference between a cult and a religion is what? Sincerity versus hypocrisy. A religion, you find that the religious leader, what does he do? He applies the rules to himself first, and then he encourages others to apply it as well, to practice, and this shows sincerity of the leader. Whereas in a cult, you find that the leader applies all the rules to everybody else and says that, oh, I'm exempt. And this exposes this cult leader's hypocrisy. Where does Islam fall on this spectrum? Well, alhamdulillah, we find that the Prophet ﷺ, when it came to battle, he would participate and even be at the front line of the battle instead of hiding and cowering in the back saying, you guys go forward instead of me. No, the Prophet ﷺ would fight. We know that the Prophet ﷺ didn't just say, oh, give me all your young, beautiful women. No, the Prophet ﷺ would marry women that were divorced and widowed and would take care of them and their families instead of just looking after his own desires, let's say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the Prophet ﷺ taught that the believers must pray 5 times a day, but he would pray long throughout the night, making the rules upon himself of the 5 daily prayers and making it even harder upon himself, as opposed to the cult leader who makes it easier upon himself. Same thing with fasting. We would fast from Fajr time until Maghrib, whereas the Prophet ﷺ would connect his fast and fast 2 days in a row sometimes. So this goes to show that the rules would apply to him first and even more so than to everybody else. So clearly Islam falls in the category of religion and not cult. Point number four, who benefits? Point number four, who benefits? In a religion, society benefits. In a cult, the leader benefits. There's a big clear difference between them. And so which side of the aisle does Islam fall upon? Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, what? لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Allah says, we have certainly sent you down a book. In it is your legacy. Will you not then use reason? Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the fact that before Islam, the Arabs were a nation with no government, no literature except for poetry, no infrastructure. They were idolatrous. They were barbaric, illiterate Bedouins who were deemed unworthy to conquer by neighboring superpowers. Yet within a short amount of time, the Muslims conquered the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire and became the most powerful nation on earth. What changed them? What happened? Did they discover some sort of natural resource? Nope. Did they get some sort of higher education in some sort of secular studies? No. Did they have some sort of superior physical strength or weaponry? No. Was it some sort of a uniting nationalistic pride? No. Did they have an increase in population? No. Rather, it was one thing. They internalized this majestic Quran. That's what transformed them. And so when Allah says, will you not reason? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Allah is saying what? That if this worked the first time, then of course it's going to work again and again and again. Implying what? That when you ask the question, is Islam more of a cult or more of a religion? And if a cult benefits only the leader, whereas a religion benefits the people, clearly Islam benefited the people tremendously, to the point that even Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Anhu, he has this beautiful statement where he says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنِ ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ We were a people who Allah has honored with Islam, and if we seek honor in anything other than Islam, then Allah will humiliate us. That he knew, and all the Arabs knew, that this Islam has elevated us. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ was not focused about benefiting himself. The Prophet ﷺ was the embodiment of altruism and of benefiting others. He gave away more wealth than was necessary from zakah money. He gave away just about everything he had and shunned any sort of worldly materialistic benefits and gave everything he could to others. Furthermore, don't just look at his material wealth, look at his time and his effort. Every moment of his life, subhanAllah, just about every second of his life, subhanAllah, is doing what? Answering questions, teaching, helping, leading, guiding, dealing with people's problems. The Prophet ﷺ was giving and not just taking. And the fifth point that I want to mention in terms of the difference between a cult and a religion is what? Duration. You find that since a cult is all about abusing your followers, it doesn't last very long. Since a religion is all about empowering the followers, they tend to last a long time. So what side of the aisle does Islam fall upon? It seems quite obvious that Islam has been spreading all over the world for the past 1400 years, and it is still the fastest growing religion in the world. So clearly, people must be benefiting. So the conclusion here is quite obvious. Islam falls in the category of religion, much more than it does in the category of cult. And now everybody's probably wondering, why did you bring all this up? What was the point? I'll explain in the second khutbah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sima kathira. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So why? Why should we go into such detail explaining the difference between a cult and a religion and demonstrating that Islam is a religion and not a cult? Because the big question, please pay attention. If you haven't been paying attention, now's the time to focus. The big question that you have to ask yourself is, how do we as parents teach Islam to our children? Unfortunately, it seems that in many cases, we teach Islam as if it's a cult, not as if it's a religion. Let me explain. Regarding the first category, regarding information, many parents teach their kids not to ask questions. Why? Because they're embarrassed that they don't have the answer. They're embarrassed that they haven't studied their faith. But instead of admitting that they are being lazy and not studying their deen, they simply tell them what? Asking questions is disrespectful. Don't ask questions. You're supposed to apply the rules. Follow what I tell you and don't ask. That's not true. That's not Islam. I just gave you all the evidence to demonstrate that Islam is all about asking questions and learning and understanding. But we present it like it's some sort of a cult. Why? Out of shame of our own ignorance. What about point number two? Regarding people. What you'll often find is that even though Islam is about connection and being open-minded and interacting with people of our faith and of course of other faiths, you'll find that some parents, they treat the masjid as if it's a place to hide away from the non-Muslim world, as opposed to a place where we're supposed to invite non-Muslims. That is the goal. That is the objective. We're supposed to be bringing non-Muslims in to teach and educate and be an example. That's what the Quran was telling us just a moment ago. We were citing all those ayat. And yet what do you find? Some parents, they present Islam like it's some sort of a cult. Build the walls real high and hide away from the non-Muslim world. Paranoid, afraid that they might be watching us. It gets worse. Some parents teach their kids, don't pray in public. Don't even say salamu alaikum, because somebody might hear it. Acting like there's some sort of a conspiracy going on. Oh, wa alaykum salam, shh, hush, hush, don't expose me. What do you mean don't expose you? Some parents tell their kids, don't talk about religion in public. Don't expose your faith. Don't let them know who you are. Come up with some sort of a nickname. Change your name if you have to. Don't express Islam in any way. This is all cult-like behavior. Some parents, they act in this paranoid manner, afraid to expose their Islam to non-Muslims. And some parents, a'udhu billah, will publicly say that Islam embraces all ethnicities. And then they will go home, talk amongst their kids and their family, and be completely racist. Closed off to anybody from an outside culture. Talking bad about them. Talking about you can't trust this group. And oh, people from that country, oh, they're bad at this. And they're horrible. And they're this and they're that. Subhanallah. Demonstrating this judgmental, closed-minded mentality. Regarding the third point, sincerity versus hypocrisy. Some parents have adopted a do as I say, not as I do policy. Some of them say, some parents, they teach their kids Islam in what way? They say, look, you have to be a practicing Muslim, but as for me, I don't have to do anything. And the kids are not dumb. They pay attention. They're not foolish. They're paying close attention and they see and they absorb everything. Kids will notice that the parent has one persona in the masjid being warm and loving and embracing others and smiling at everybody. And then at home, backbiting, judgmental, dehumanizing towards anybody of any other group or any other ethnicity or language. They will pay attention to this. And slowly but surely, they're going to become convinced this is a cult. This isn't a religion. They might not use that language. They might not know all the definitions, but the impact is definitely there. When it comes to the fourth question of who benefits, Some parents force their kids to pray. Some parents force their kids to memorize the Quran with no emphasis on understanding. Recite these words, go up and down, don't worry about what it means. Memorize these pages, don't worry about what it means. Just do what I tell you. Why? What is the goal? What is the objective? So that I can show my kid off as a trophy to all of my friends and family. Look at how good my kid is doing his prayers, memorizing the Quran. Who benefits? The parent benefits. I get to show off my kid. Does the kid benefit? Who cares? You're not benefiting the child. You're not empowering the child. You're not focusing on his education and his connection to Allah. You're focusing on what? Having a trophy kid. Cult-like mentality. I am the leader and you behave to benefit me, not to benefit yourself. What do you think happens? The kid becomes disillusioned. Some parents focus exclusively on commands that benefit themselves. Hey, you know what the Quran says? Birr al-walidain. Be good to the parents. Ihsan. Towards your parents. They focus on these ayat over and over and over again. Be good to your parents. Allah commands you to be good to your parents. Hey mom, hey dad, what about prayer? Don't worry about that. Hey mom, hey dad, what about fasting? Don't worry about that. Hey mom, dad, what about going to the masjid? Don't worry about that. What about charity? Don't worry about that. Just be good to your parents. That's the only command that matters. You know what this is? You're turning into a cult. That's what you're doing. Because it's all about the leader. All about empowering the leader. Me. Everything works for me. And so finally, the fourth point is what? Duration. How long does it last? Religions last a long time because they empower the followers. But you find that these kids are now losing their deen. What happens? Brothers and sisters, I've seen it too many times. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Same thing over and over and over again. Parent comes up to me. My son has rejected Islam. He doesn't believe anymore. No. Your son hasn't rejected Islam. In fact, your son doesn't know about Islam. He only knows what you've taught him. And what have you taught him? You taught him a quote-unquote religion that concentrates power towards yourself. You've taught him a religion that must be practiced by him, but you don't have to practice it at all. You've taught him a religion where all the emphasis is on obedience, but there's no emphasis on understanding. You've taught him a religion that is publicly classless, open-hearted to everybody, but privately it is racist, it is judgmental, it backbites, and it is isolationist and paranoid. Therefore, this religion isn't a religion at all. He hasn't rejected Islam. He has rejected your cult. And it just so happens that you have incorrectly labeled that cult Islam. That was the problem. So what is the result? As we know, cults don't last very long. That's their quality. Religions last long. Cults don't. So when you find out, oh, the kid, he rejected Islam, it doesn't last long. It's not being passed on from one generation to the next. It's not Islam that you're passing on anyway. They're just rejecting the cult. So what is the conclusion? If you want to pass on your Islam to your children, there has to be a passion. You have to remember the beautiful proverb, فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. Simple, straightforward concept. The one who doesn't have something can't give it. If you don't have it, how can you give it? If you don't have this iman in your heart, how can you give it? So what should we focus on? What was point number one about information, right? So, if you want to see this deen passed on, you need to first and foremost not worry about, is my kid attending a class? Is my kid going to Quran class? Is my kid studying this and listening to that? What about you? First and foremost, it starts with you. And you need to ask yourself, am I intellectually curious? You have to adopt the mentality that I am a student for life. This deen, you didn't study it when you were a kid. Okay, now I know my how to pray. I know a few surahs and I'm done. It doesn't work like that. There's not a single alim on planet Earth that is really an alim who says, oh, I did my alimiyah, I did my studies, and now I'm done. You're never done. Until the grave, you're not done. Only up until you die, that's when you're done. You keep learning your whole life. That's the attitude you must have. Every single day, week, year, I should be improving my knowledge in Islam, internalizing it, understanding it more and more. I need to be intellectually curious. Why? So I can set the example. Socially, you have to be connected to the believers. Not for the sake because we share the same language, not because we're from the same country, but because of our iman. You have to be connected to the believers based on their faith. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having friends from your own country. But is that the only reason? That's a problem. If you're only friends with the people that are from your country just because they're from your country, then that is not sufficient. There has to be the element of, these are believers, and I connect through iman, instead of being paranoid and pushing people away. You have to be proud of your deen, where you are not afraid. Hey, if it's prayer time, I don't care if I'm in the park. I stand up, make my takbir, and I do my prayer. I'm proud to show the world who I am. My Islam is the best part of who I am. It's the most, it's everything else can go away. My life can go away, but my deen stays. That's called shahad, that's called martyrdom. That you hold on to your deen even if it costs your life. That's the level of pride you need to have in your deen. Then the kid will see that and understand it. But if you're shy, always pulling back, don't talk about religion in public. Don't say salam out loud. Don't ever do a prayer. Never bring up this topic. Okay, this is very cult-like mentality. We can't have this. Number three is what? Be a real leader. What does it mean to be a real leader? It means that the rules must apply to you first. And then you impart those rules to your family, your wife and children. First and foremost, the rules have to apply to you. And then, furthermore, what is the focus of the child's Islam? When you are encouraging your children, the objective is not to benefit you. You're not encouraging rules like, oh, obey the parents. And, oh, do the things that make me look good in front of my friends. No. The focus is about connecting that child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean when you pray? When you memorize the surah, what does Qul Huwallahu Ahad mean? What do these surahs mean? What does this deen mean? What does it mean that you bow down, that you make sajda to Allah ta'ala? What does this mean to you, my dear son, my dear daughter? There has to be some sort of a connection, not just to show off and show your child as a trophy. And if you could do these four, then inshallah ta'ala, this is a recipe for a long-lasting faith, a long-lasting religion, instead of a short-lived cult-like mentality. I could share stories, too many stories, unfortunately. This same story has been repeated about 1,000 times of kids who, you know, parents come up to me, can you fix my kid? He doesn't have any faith. Okay, I'll talk to him, inshallah. You sit down with the kid, oh, my dad, he just wants me to memorize just so he can show off to his friends, say that my kid is a hafiz. I don't even understand what I'm memorizing. And do you know how racist my dad is? He's smiling in front of everybody, shaking everybody's hand. Do you know what he says about these people behind their backs? Do you know what type of person he is? It's so embarrassing. And then I'm in the middle of all this. Later on, I have to speak to the father. The father's like, so? What can I say? I got good news and bad news. The good news is, I figured out the problem. The bad news is, you're the problem. Subhanallah. This is an issue that we need to resolve and truly look internally. If you want your kid to attend the masjid, attend the masjid. If you want your kid to connect with his deen, you have to be connected yourself. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. If you don't have something, you can't give it. Otherwise, you are teaching not the deen of Islam, you're teaching a cult, and the kid's going to reject it, just as cults have a very short life. The final story I want to tell is one which is a little bit more positive. I remember years ago, there was a family that contacted me and said, my kid doesn't believe anymore, and you know, he says he's an atheist, and I don't know what to do about it. I said, okay, well, I'll speak to the kid. It was over Skype and stuff, and we had these, you know, meetings where we would sit, and I'd talk to the kid. The mother was saying, can I sit in and just see what you guys are talking about? I said, yeah, sure, you know, I mean, you want to know what I'm talking about. I started addressing his doubts about the existence of God. I started addressing all these different arguments. As I was talking, I could tell that the mother was becoming way more engaged. Nobody's ever taught me this before. Nobody's ever said this before. I can't believe this. My whole life, I never heard any of these arguments. I never heard any of these points, these proofs, these evidences. This is so interesting. And subhanAllah, time after time, we would sit and we would talk. I'd find that the parents were more interested than the kid. And the parents were like, what have I been doing with my life? I've been telling my kid, obey, practice this religion. But I never made him understand it because I never understood it. And subhanAllah, slowly but surely, you see that the parents are becoming so practicing. And now they're setting an example for the kid. And it was so beautiful to see that the parents realize the problem's not with the kid. The problem's saying, look, the kid is just saying, I'm just rejecting your cult. The problem is with me. I don't even know what I'm practicing. I'm just blindly doing something and I haven't embraced on an intellectual way, in a real spiritual way, I haven't embraced this deen. And so I saw a big, they came talking to me to transform the kid, they ended up transforming themselves. This is the lesson. You need to demonstrate and show that this is something that is deep and internal and meaningful and powerful in your life, and that way you will convey this deen to others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who we have this constant intellectual curiosity and always learn. We are students our whole lives. We always want to learn more about our deen. We always have questions. We're always understanding more. What every ayah, what every hadith, whatever we learn, we want to implement it more. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are connected to not just our own Muslim community, but even outsiders. Why? On the basis of faith. I want to talk to you about your Christianity or about your atheism. I want to expose to the world how beautiful this light of Islam is. It's not something that pulls me back and makes me afraid and shy. It's something that is a light for the world that takes away the darkness. Be proud of your deen and share it with the world. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are leaders. And by leader I mean, rules apply to me first, and then they apply to everybody else second. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who, when we teach our deen to our children, the objective is not to treat them as trophies, but rather to ask the question, how can I connect my child to Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala the same way I feel a connection to my Lord as well? That is the goal. And because of all this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, may Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala make it the case that we get to pass on our Islam generation to generation as an empowering, beautiful deen, as a beautiful religion, and not something that cuts off very short like a cult. آمين يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت